This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.
And I'm Marcy Silman. Well, first she was stuck, and now she's broken. The news keeps getting worse for Bertha, the tunnel boring machine on Seattle's waterfront. She's stalled 60 feet below Seattle's Pioneer Square, and she's been there since early December. This week, the Washington State Department of Transportation said Bertha may be shut down for several months while contractors sort through repair options. Lynn Peterson is Washington State's Transportation Secretary. When we sat down yesterday, Peterson told me just what's wrong with Bertha.
Bertha overheated and the contractor shut her down. But what we know today is that there was hardened material that clogged her face. And as she overheated, she broke all five seals that protect the main bearing that allow the face to turn. They had five seals because as a tunneling machine moves through the length of its tunnel, it will blow those seals under the pressure. So it has redundancy, but all five of them have been blown when they should have lasted, you know, much longer. So they need to go down and inspect a lot of the things that was protecting, make sure that there was no damage, replace those seals, and make sure that the face is ready to the tunnel.
So it's a little bit like if you ignore the check engine light on your car, except that we couldn't see the check engine light because it was buried underground.
Correct. And it's like mowing the lawn with wet grass, right?
Got it.
You're going to have to go in, turn it off, turn it upside down, and basically take all of that wet grass off of there to make the machine work again.
I know that there's been a lot of back and forth between your department, the contractor, Seattle Tunnel Partners, over whose fault this is. So whose fault is it?
Well, it's pretty clear because it's a design-build contract that any operator error or any design flaw of the machine is up to the contractor to fix.
And then who pays for that fix?
The contractor. Under a design-build contract, anything regarding the cost of the machine itself and the maintenance of that machine and the fix on this machine is up to the contractor.
Setting aside the question of who bears fault and who foots the bill, we haven't yet seen any public estimates of how much this delay will cost. If this drill does not get fixed until summertime, what will the impact be to the project's overall budget?
Again, the contractor is right now awaiting a team from Hitachi Zosen from Japan, their partners, to come in tomorrow. And they will discuss exactly what the solution is in terms of getting folks down into the machine and fixing that which is broken and what that entails. They have several different ways they can do that. They need to choose the best method, and they need to be in complete agreement on that, because they both bear the responsibility and cost of that fix. We have been told that about Friday we should know more about what their specific solution is and what the timeline would be.
They pay the cost of the fix. Do they also bear the cost of overruns or the cost that's incurred because other things that are dependent on Bertha's work are delayed?
Yes. So in terms of the contract that we have, we had estimated that this tunnel would be done by approximately the end of 2016, November 2016. When they won the contract, they partially won it on the fact that they believed that they could complete the tunnel a year earlier. So there are incentives built into the contract if they do complete it a year earlier. If they do not, they do not get those incentives.
Lynn Peterson, you were confident at a hearing in Olympia last month that we're going to make it through. That's a quote. And that was before this problem happened. How confident are you today in the way that this project is going forward?
You know, every tunneling project in the entire world comes up on problems such as this. What I can say is that to have had this issue arise early on is exactly where it needed to happen. This first 1,500 feet was recognized by the contractor as being the hardest part of the entire job, and that's getting a tunneling machine underground. It is the largest one ever made, so it's complicated in terms of that, so that they had constructed what they called a tunnel in the box. So they were essentially testing the machine out of what it could and could not handle as they were going through this first 1,500 feet. And it's essentially sitting just outside the first 1,000 feet. And so we are able to get at the machine and fix it and then make judgments on whether it's ready to proceed or not after that. And it will be at that time when we weigh in as the owner of, has the fix actually solved the problem, and are we confident that it can go forward?
In the meantime, the Alaskan Way Viaduct continues to carry tens of thousands of vehicles every day. The previous governor, Governor Gregoire, had famously said that she thought it needed to come down by 2012. How long can the project stretch past the scheduled end date before the viaduct really is no longer viable for carrying people in vehicles?
We have folks that inspect this bridge very carefully, and if there was any reason to close it, we would close it. There has been no indication to date that there is any reason not to believe it is a safe bridge, and if we have any indication, we would go ahead and close it.
Do you guys ever sit around and wonder, gee, maybe we should have gone with the surface option after all?
Yeah, you know, the community definitely made a decision when this went to the ballot, and we are following through on the community's desires.
Lynn Peterson is Washington State Transportation Secretary. She says by Friday they should have more information about how Bertha will be fixed, how long that might take, and how much it'll cost. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.